Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
Okay, here we go. Good morning, church. It's great to be with friends and family. And if you're a guest visiting, my name is Jeremy Blackwood. It's a pleasure to have you with us, whether it's just for one time or maybe this is a new church home for you. Who knows? You're always welcome. But we're going to get going here. We've been on a series with the Holy Spirit for a while, and we've been enjoying that series, I hope. I have been enjoying it. And talking about the Holy Spirit, I was telling our team earlier, if you imagine the church as a race car, you could pick the finest race car in the world. Pick any car you could imagine. You have the free choice to pick, I want to go fast and I want to win a race. Well, without fuel, you will not accomplish fuel or power, battery power or gasoline, diesel. I don't think diesel is going to, well, you never know what's going to happen. But jet fuel. Without the fuel, you can't actually get the vehicle moving very quickly. Maybe if you got a few buddies pushing it, but that's a pretty sore race. And the Holy Spirit is that fuel that fuels the church's lives, the life of a believer, and actually empowers them and gives them everything they need necessary to run that race well. And so that's what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. And so we're going to be taking some time. We're actually going to read through all of Acts chapter 10. And this is a really significant chapter. And I'll explain why in a moment. But before I do, as Pastor Mike and Monica mentioned, it's Pentecost Sunday. And many of us know what that means. But some of you might not know what it means. And so Pentecost Sunday, it's roughly 50 days after Easter. And if you remember when Jesus was on the planet, when we're reading the scriptures, he says, hey, you got to wait till you receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. You got to wait till you get that jet fuel, church, because without that jet fuel, you're not going to do very well. So you got to wait. And so there was a group waiting, and it dwindled a bit, but eventually there was about 120 gathered in an upper room, and the Holy Spirit, this is in Acts, the start of Acts, the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they were filled with power, and they were actually given, they began speaking in other tongues, other languages, that people all around them recognized. It was quite an empowering moment being filled with that power and getting that strength. Now, this is what we're celebrating. We're celebrating the power of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives and filling us so that we're not weak and meager, but strong and bold and confident in the Lord. Okay? So it's a great day to celebrate. And so it really matters. It's a powerful day. And so what I'm going to do today, though, is I'm going to read through Acts 10, and so you can follow along on the screens. It's kind of works just to read the whole thing because it's a pretty incredible story, and it's the finishing part to the power of the Holy Spirit being released on this earth. And so I'll read Acts 10, and then I'll share just a few little just thoughts based on it, just so we can have some full understanding or more understanding, maybe not full, but more understanding what the passage is talking about, because they're talking about different things in there that we might not fully understand. So I'll break that down briefly. And I've just got two questions for us today. And those two questions are, what is our responsibility as Christians when it comes to the Holy Spirit? What is our responsibility as Christians when it comes to the Holy Spirit? And secondly, what is the role of the Holy Spirit? What is his role in our lives? How does he actually function? How does that jet fuel meet car and combustion and go? Well, how does that actually work? So let's just take a moment and pray together. Father, we just open our hearts to you, and we acknowledge that you are the one true God. God, we acknowledge that as well, we are incomplete apart from you. God, we acknowledge that our hearts are distant, broken, sinful, selfish, on our own. But God, when we encounter Jesus and your loving kindness towards us, we are made new, and we just surrender to you again, Jesus, this morning. God, make our minds, our hearts, our bodies in tune with you, and Holy Spirit, would you speak into our lives? Counsel us, direct us, convict us, do what you need to do in our lives. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And a faith-filled, awesome church said together,
amen.
Nine times the volume. Okay, there we go. getting the jet fuel going. Here we go. Acts chapter 10. You can follow along on the screens. Anyone have a paper Bible with them? I can see Pastor Mike's got a very... Oh, Pastor Mike and Monica. Anyone else have paper Bibles with them? There we go. We got some people, some old schoolers. There we are. A young heart with an old soul. I don't know if that's actually true. I'm just saying things. Let's start. Here we are at Caesarea. There was a man named Cornelius. Okay, Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the Tanner." Okay, why do we have to have two Simons there, guys? Like, anyways, he is staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. Okay, so we got Cornelius has a vision. "Hey, you got to go do this." "Okay, I'm going to go do this." And he sends the guys off. Here's Peter's vision. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened, and something like a large sheet being let down to the earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." Some of those foods that were displayed before him were impure and unclean to a Jewish person. The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken up back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I am the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius, the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea, and Cornelius was expecting them, and he called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I'm only a man myself." Well, verse 27, while talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate and visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "3 days ago, I was in my house." You guys are doing well. Keep on listening here. Seems like you're attentive. Cornelius answered, "3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour. At 3 p.m, suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.'" Oh, okay. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true, so he didn't realize before, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good, healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Verse 39, we're almost there, guys. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen. By us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify. He is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So Peter's just preaching to him. And then it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all those who heard the message. The circumcised, who were the Jewish believers, who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, verse 47, surely no one can stand in the way of their being surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have, so he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. We did it. That's a cool story. Refreshing. So, hopefully you were able to tune in and understand what was going on there. I'll just give a quick mini recap and just explain a couple little things, just so we have a full understanding or a better understanding. We've got Cornelius, who is a God-fearing Jew, so he worshipped the God of the Israelites, the God of the Jews. And then we've got Peter, a faithful Jewish apostle, okay? And then we have Cornelius and Peter. They're both praying, and God, he starts working on both of their lives. They just started praying, and all of a sudden, God says to Cornelius, hey, you got to do this. And God says to Peter, hey, you got to do this. And they both just, okay, sounds good. They both listen. They respond. Obviously, Peter comes back to Cornelius's place, and which is, this is kind of a part that you do need to understand. In biblical times, Jews were God's covenant people, descendants of Abraham set apart by God through the law. Gentiles were anyone that were not Jewish. That's what a Gentile is. When you're like, what's a Gentile? Is that like a reptile thing? No, it's just a guy or a girl who's just not a Jew. All right. But they were outsiders to the covenant in the Old Testament, okay? And they did not mix at all, especially in circles of worship. There was no mixing of these things. But in this moment, and this is really powerful, the Holy Spirit makes something incredibly clear. The gospel is for everyone. Peter preaches Christ to Cornelius' household, and the Holy Spirit falls on the Gentiles just like he did when the Jews were at Pentecost. That was earlier when the 120 were just gathered and waiting. It's a turning point in the church. This is when the jet fuel is fully released to all mankind. And all people, a divine interruption breaks down walls, opens the doors to the nations, and off we go. This is an incredible moment that fully changed the course of history and allows us to even be sitting here in the power of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit because of what happened in this moment. It's so incredible. So as we take the rest of the time today, I do want to draw from this story to help us understand how the Holy Spirit is meant to work in our lives and what we can learn. Because it's great to understand what happened in the past, but the question I want to ask myself often as a follower of Jesus is, well, how does that work for me today? How does the Holy Spirit work today? Do we have the same jet fuel, or is it like a dumbed-down version, or not? Is it the same thing? Not? Is it different? What's going on here? So what is our responsibility as Christians when it comes to following the Holy Spirit? Well, I'm glad you asked. I've got four different responsibilities, okay? This is not a full exhaustive list, but the first one is position ourselves to hear God, okay? Our responsibility as Christians when it comes to the Holy Spirit is to position ourselves to hear God. What do I mean by that? The goal of any Christian is to obviously hear God, follow him, and do his will. As I mentioned before, hockey fan, Oilers fan, you know in sports and in hockey, there's positions. If everyone played the same position, it would be a terrible, lousy game. It just would be. They're working together. There's positions. So I have a position that I need to find myself in as a Christ follower. I need to position myself before God so that I can hear God and act out his will. That's what Cornelius was doing. You notice Cornelius, he set aside time. He was praying. Peter had some extra time. He said, well, what should I do with my time? I've already got 3 stars on Angry Birds and whatever else. I don't know. That's the last. Anyways, stop it, Jer. Don't go down there. And he goes up to the roof and he starts praying. And that's where God meets both of them. They positioned themselves through prayer. So prayer is actually one way that you can position yourself. These are kind of some subheadings under this first one. How do you position yourself? Prayer is a great one. What is prayer? It's a regular, honest, expectant conversation with God. You just have a conversation with God where there's an expectation inside of you that, God, you're hearing me, and I'm expecting to hear you. So you set aside some time to pray. You can also position yourself by reading your Bible. The Holy Spirit has already spoken. God has already spoken in the words that are recorded. And so he uses the Word of God to remind us and refresh our brains and be like, oh, yeah. So if you're not reading your Bible, it's kind of not going to work for you as well as it could, okay? We need to be reading our Bible. Silence and solitude. We've talked lots about this over the last number of years. Taking a moment just to position yourself. It's like we have many devices, and it's not just a phone. We have many things in our lives that are dinging and binging and blipping and blopping. Don't we? Just push that thing to the side. We live in a place where you can drive for five. Just go, if you live here in Leduc, just go to the Telford Loop. You don't have to do the whole thing. Just go sit there, just in a quiet spot. Or if you're in another, just go find a spot where you can just, I'm going to have a bit of silence, I'm a bit of solitude. That's positioning yourself to hear from God. There's a bunch of different ways that you can do that as well. There's many other things that I could talk about, like journaling and, I won't get into those things. There's many different things because there's other things I want to talk about. So our first responsibility is positioning ourselves to hear God, okay? Number one, position yourself to hear God. Number two is be willing to be interrupted. So both of these gentlemen started off their prayers and they weren't saying, God, give me a vision. God, give me a vision. I don't think they were praying that, most likely. They were just like, God, you are the holy God of all. You're the one that I worship. You're the one that I place my trust in. You're the one that leads me. You're the one that guides me. Maybe they were reciting scripture. They would have had a lot of scripture memorized. Maybe they were reciting scripture. And all of a sudden, boom, there's an interruption. Peter had he had his plan for the day, I'm sure. And he's just waiting for the meal. And then God interrupts him with a vision. This vision changes Peter's worldview and stretches him way outside his comfort zone. God had to show him 3 times. He's like, surely not, Lord. He's like, no. Like, if you've been told, and I mean this isn't a great example, but it's just all I can think of at the moment. If you've been told your whole life, don't touch the hot stove, 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 and then the Holy Spirit comes to you and says, touch the hot stove. You're like, surely not? Not a great idea. And he's like, no, just trust me, just touch the hot stove. Obviously a silly example, but that's how ingrained in Peter's head it would have been not to associate with Gentiles. Don't do that. But all of a sudden, God's breaking his worldview wide open. So what does it look like to be interrupted? Well, maybe stopping to pray for someone when they're telling you about a struggle. You just pray for them. You call or text someone when they pop into your mind. Write them a letter if you really want to go old school. Offering to help a neighbor when you don't really want to. pausing your to-do list, changing your route that you take every time to that certain destination. Just take a different route, saying, God, I'm open and available. I'm willing to be interrupted. Taking time to listen to a coworker, letting God speak through someone unexpected. You might be thinking, this person has nothing to tell me. Oh my goodness, I just want to move on. And all of a sudden, God says, boom, I needed you to hear this. So that's what it looks like on a daily basis to be interrupted. Number three, the third responsibility is obey without hesitation. Once Peter receives the vision and is still pondering its meaning, the Holy Spirit speaks to him directly and says, rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. Okay, I'm not really sure what's going on with this sheet with all the foods and the things, but I'm just going to go. And he goes. Peter doesn't drag his feet. He doesn't ask for more confirmation or delay until it's more comfortable. He gets up and he does what he's supposed to do. Sets out on the journey. And then even when he's asked later on by Cornelius in verse 29, it says, so when I was sent for, I came without objection. So when our role when it comes to and responsibility when it comes to the Holy Spirit is we just obey without hesitation. If you've been asked, kids, if you want to bless your parents like nobody's business, I'm looking at all these young kids here. I see them out there. If you want to obey, and I see parents saying, come on, just say it. Just do it. Kids, if you want to please your parents like nobody's business, if they say, hey, do you mind just doing this? And you're like, well, why? Don't even ask that. Just do what you've been asked to do. It will go well for you. It will. I see some parents clapping. Amen. Okay. Obey without hesitation. Say yes immediately. Act on a prompting. Respond in love. Trust God's voice more than your comfort zone. Okay? We all have comfort zones, and God sometimes just takes us right out of them. Okay? And the fourth thing that we do, third is obey without hesitation. Fourth is just leave the results to God. Okay? Peter took off and he's like, I have no clue what I'm doing yet. I'm going with these people that I should not be associating with, but the Holy Spirit is guiding me, so I will just go. Doesn't seem to make sense. And he just went. But he left the results to God. Peter had no guarantee how the Gentiles would respond, but he obeyed them anyways. It was the Holy Spirit who fell on them, not Peter's persuasion or strategy. He was just like talking, and it says all of a sudden, while he was talking, the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they began to speak in other tongues. So sometimes we're so focused on the result of like, well, I'll do it, but what's all the results? What are the benefits? That's not up to us. We just leave the results to God. It's actually a great way to live. God, it's in your hands. Whatever results you want to come up with here, I'm trusting that you're going to do it. And your power is going to work through me. So as we just take the last few moments here to focus on the Holy Spirit's role. Because obviously he has a responsibility. First of all, he doesn't have to do anything for us if he doesn't want to. But God promised that he will, which is awesome, that he'll lead us into all truth, that he is the great counselor. So he will counsel us. He's going to convict us, and he's going to do different things in our lives. So this is, again, not an exhaustive list, but a helpful way to understand how is that jet fuel meant to work in my life so that I can take off. Imagine Kramer's hair for all you older people out there. Amazing hair. Okay, jet fuel. Okay, first responsibility is the Spirit speaks with clarity and consistency. Okay, when the Spirit of God is speaking, the Spirit will speak with clarity and consistency. So in Acts 10, 19 to 20, while Peter is still pondering the vision, the Spirit speaks directly. Behold, three men, we've heard this already, three men are here. Go with them. He's like, okay, for I've sent for them. The Spirit confirms the vision by orchestrating these real world events. All of a sudden, okay, well, those three men actually arrived. They were there because he told them, three men are waiting for you. He's like, oh, cool. There's three men right there. So he gives clear direction. This is one of the primary ways the Spirit leads. His voice aligns with God's broader mission and confirms what he's already been revealing. Okay? So here's a note. Clarity often comes after obedience. Not always. But clarity often comes after obedience. The Spirit doesn't explain things first. He just instructed in this case. Go do this. Okay. I guess I'll just go do that. And often, you know, those instructions come to those who are praying and listening and positioning themselves, as we talked about already. Both Peter and Cornelius didn't get full clarity until after they obeyed. It all kind of worked together in the end, but in the midst of, they're like, I don't know what's going on. What does that look like in your life? Well, if you're a business owner and the Holy Spirit makes it very clear, you should be doing this. And it's like, that makes no sense in the world of business economics, but just go do it. Now, I'm not telling you just like be wildly like, oh, I think the Spirit's telling me this. I think the Spirit's telling me this. I think the Spirit's telling me this. There's more to it. But if you feel, and it's not just feel, if you know the Spirit of God is just speaking directly to you and it doesn't make sense, sometimes you just got to do it. The second thing that the Spirit, the way the Spirit plays a role in our lives is he convicts and he corrects. And what do I mean by that? Here we've got Peter's Jewish upbringing had conditioned him, as I mentioned before, to avoid Gentiles. Just don't deal with them, do your own thing, follow the Jewish laws, it's all going to be good. But the Spirit challenged him on that bias. What God has made clean says, do not call common. The Spirit brings conviction, not just about sin, but wrong assumptions or pride or prejudice. The Spirit does that. And Jesus even said about the Holy Spirit in John 16:8, says, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. So Peter felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit and then corrected himself to align with the direction that the Spirit was leading. That would have been a very difficult maneuver for him. The hot stove is there. It's like, I'll just do it. Okay. He felt the conviction. The Spirit's telling me to do this. I will then follow that and I will adjust my course and I will correct my course to follow what the Holy Spirit is doing. And let me just say this about conviction. Holy Spirit conviction is, there's a few things to it, and I'll just go through just a couple very quickly. First of all, it's Spirit-initiated truth, okay? It's Spirit-initiated truth that confronts sin, misunderstanding, and prejudice. Well, what do we discover what sin is? Well, it talks about sin in the Bible. The Bible is our goalpost to go to for righteous, holy living. So that's where we go to. And the Bible, as we read the Bible, as we hear God's word being spoken and taught, and as the Holy Spirit works in our lives, the Holy Spirit convicts us and says, hey, there's something that's going on in you that doesn't align. It's blocking that jet fuel from really actually propelling you forward. So we need to deal with that, get that out of the way so we can get maximum force. And so the Holy Spirit conviction leads us to repentance, but also reorientation. Okay, which is a change of mind that leads to a change of direction. Holy Spirit conviction enables bold confidence, even in situations that go against our upbringing or our comfort. The Holy Spirit can embolden you, not make you proud like, look at me, I am so great, but gives you the confidence to say, I, in my own self, would not be confident in this situation. But there is a righteous filling, a holy filling of my life that is actually causing me to be bold in this circumstance when normally I wouldn't be. And Holy Spirit conviction is missional as well. It moves us into God's larger plan. Our plan isn't just you and Jesus, people. It's a bigger picture than that. Holy Spirit conviction is missional. It moves us into God's larger plan, like in the case of Peter bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. And then my last point here as we're wrapping up, Holy Spirit's role is he confirms and empowers. In Acts 10:44, while Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit falls on the Gentiles. The confirmation of the Spirit's voice and leading is seen in the transformation So Peter's just talking, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit fills these people's lives and they begin speaking in other tongues and other languages. And they're filled with the glory of God. And it says here, can anyone, and this is verse 47, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So here you have Peter. He's told to go do something. He obeys immediately. Once he obeys immediately, without full knowledge of what he's doing, then God begins to piece things together, and he's like, okay, I think I see what God's doing here. And he begins to tell people, God is for everyone. The gospel is for everyone. Salvation through Jesus is for everyone. And he begins to preach, and he's preaching, and he's preaching to these Gentiles, these people he should not be associating with. And he wasn't like, all right, and now in Jesus' name, whammy! He didn't do that. He was just telling people about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit began to fill the lives of these Gentile believers. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he just gets on board. So what does the Holy Spirit do? He confirms and empowers. He confirmed that Peter was in the right track. He confirmed that Cornelius was in the right track. And then he fully empowered them to be filled with the Spirit so that they can have maximum propulsion. I don't know why I did that. I just do the thing sometimes. But really, sometimes we need to see the fruit of something and say, oh, the fruit of this is healthy, good fruit. I didn't understand what I was doing at the start, but now I see, God, you were working this all along. And you never know what's on the other side of your obedience. And we might never know until, you know, we are with Jesus. We don't know. Our job is obedience as Christ followers, positioning ourselves before God, saying, God, here I am. Use me, fill me, direct me. And then you just leave the rest up to him as you obey him. Just want to invite you to stand up right now. You can even close your eyes if that's helpful for you to just focus. This is a moment, not just for individuals, but this is a moment for us as a church. As I said earlier, the Holy Spirit wants to work through us missionally. He's going to work through you individually, but we're also a corporate body. As we gather in here as the church, we inhale, we're filled with God. We bring our praises to him. He encourages us. He builds up our faith. And then we exhale in our Monday to Saturday. And so my prayer today is simply that we would continue to open our hearts to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives. For me to say, it's got to look exactly like this, this, and this, I don't need to do that. That's the Holy Spirit's job as we open our hearts to him. And so this isn't something I'm looking to force at all. More so, it's just if God responds to hunger, God responds, many of you have heard this verse before, draw near to me, God says, and I will draw near to you. There's a hunger inside of you that says, God, I want to know you more. I want to know your ways more. God, would you fill my mind? Would you fill my heart? Would you fill my body with your presence, God, so that I can be everything that I'm meant to be for you, God, not for my own living, God, but for the glory of you. And so, Father, we come to you in prayer this morning. And if you're like Cornelius, and he was a hungry guy, he was just hungry for God's presence, my invitation is stay hungry and the Spirit will meet you. If you're struggling like Peter with some paradigm shifts, or God's working some stuff that's really hard in you that you've once believed, and God's just saying, hey, maybe it's time that you actually change that wrong belief. Don't resist what the Spirit's trying to do. Shift and shift in your heart. Embrace what God's trying to do. And if you're witnessing a move of the Spirit, just join him. That's what Peter did. He's like, this is what's happening. Let's start baptizing these people. And so, Father God, we come to you and we just open up our hearts to you, God. Holy Spirit, you are the same Holy Spirit that has always been. That same Holy Spirit that filled that upper room when the 120 were gathered together. That same Holy Spirit that met Peter and Cornelius and all the people gathered together, You're that same Holy Spirit that has met with your people time and time again. You have filled us time and time again. And right now, God, we pray for your Holy Spirit to fill our lives. Fill us the way we need to be filled, God. Direct us the way we need to be directed. Speak to us the way we need to be spoken to, Father. Holy Spirit, we are saying we are open vessels to you. Lead and guide us. And as we continue in an attitude of prayer, for many of you, you can agree with that prayer, and you have agreed with those prayers for years. And maybe you're saying, well, I've just been living my life my own way. I have no clue who Jesus is. I have no real clue who the Holy Spirit is. I don't really know who God is. Well, let me tell you, there's a whole room of people here that have discovered who he is and are continuing to discover who he is. And I just want to lead us in a moment where you can actually respond to Jesus as well. And you can surrender your life. He is the one that wrecks us for our own desires, and he puts his desires in us, and he begins to fill us and strengthen us and redirect us on a course that is beyond our imagination. And so I'll lead us in a prayer, and when the whole church, we can pray this together, and then Pastor Monica, I believe, is going to come up us and tell us how we can go from there and what next steps we can do. So let's pray this prayer together, surrendering to Christ and just giving him our lives. And we just say, Jesus, you are the worthy, the King of all. I worship you today. I recognize that my life is incomplete, is broken, and sinful apart from you. But because of what you have done through your death and resurrection, I can be free. So I today surrender my will and my life to you. Would you come fill me, direct me, and change me for the rest of my life? In Jesus' name, and a faith-filled church said together, Amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.